If one big beautiful bill has left you with one big confusing question, turn to BHM CPA Group. Their experienced professionals break down complex changes in tax law, accounting, and business regulations so you can make informed decisions with confidence. Simplifying the complex is what BHM CPA Group does best. Don't wait. Visit bhmcpagroup.com and let's get to work. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be. Visit bhmcpagroup.com today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Prep Zone Podcast. Delighted to have you with me today, the new girls head basketball coach, Tommy Sparks. Coach Tommy, how are you?
How's it going, Steve? Nice to be here. Nice to be here.
Yeah, listen, I'm really excited about this one because we kind of get to introduce you to the Staples community.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's going to be so much fun. And, you know, I've been kind of, you know, asked about, sometimes I'll stalk people online, but I really don't. What I do is I go to the website for the team, right? And we kind of look at it and look at the background. But yours not updated yet. So right. I wanted to give an introduce to let you, you know, tell everyone your background, what you've done, where you come from. So why don't you kick us off with that?
Okay. So I grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I ended up going to Notre Dame of Fairfield for high school. Sports was, you know, a huge component of my life, whether it was football, basketball, baseball, soccer. Uh-huh. As a kid, you know, I was coached by my father for most seasons. Obviously, I had a few other coaches too.
Yeah.
But, you know, so sports was a big aspect of my life. But it also coincided with just the academic side. You know, I was an honor roll student. You know, I took all honors classes at the time and things like that. So I learned a lot of life lessons through sports.
Yeah.
That, you know, also resembled things that I showed at the academic side. So that's pretty much what I was about when I was younger. You know, I went to Notre Dame of Fairfield. You know, I got recruited Division I starting my sophomore year, but it didn't really pan out the way that I wanted. You know, schools such as Virginia Commonwealth University, Sacred Heart University, Quinnipiac University, we had Bucknell, small schools like that. But, you know, just didn't really pan out the way that I expected. So now it's just more of kind of giving back, right? Giving back, helping others kind of recognize their power and really help them succeed and find things that they're looking to accomplish. So that's pretty much that's my background. I coached after college. I went on to work with Future Stars Basketball Academy, which is a program that does a lot of youth basketball mm-hmm. programs, basically ages four through college. So I started with them. I started doing training programs, small group clinics and things like that. I worked directly with Frank Olenek, actually, a former NBA player. He was actually the number, I believe, 11th pick in the 1975 draft. So I learned a lot from him. Yeah, I learned a lot from him. He taught me a lot of just as far as like how to handle people, how to handle just the business side of everything. So started off there. I started off coaching at Notre Dame. I returned to my alma mater. I started coaching freshmen there. Then I gradually just kind of moved up to JV
right.
and, you know, assisted there. We had a great, great 4 years there when I was there. I was there with Coach Vinny Lukowski initially for 2 years, and then I was there with Chris Watts for 3 years, actually. With Chris Watts, we ended up having a great 2 years where we lost, what were we, about 52-3 or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but, you know, Watts was one of the best coaches I've ever met in my life,
right.
One of the best men I've ever met in my life, so I learned a lot from him. But, yeah, he coached us to an undefeated season. You know, he was USA Today's Coach of the Year. So that was kind of just like where I really got mm-hmm. really wrapped into coaching, just seeing that and seeing the power of winning a championship, seeing the power of seeing a group of kids just come together with a common goal, all different personalities
yeah.
and really sacrifice things for each other, right? And not just the players, but the coaches, the administration. We had, you know, managers that were just bought in. It was an amazing experience. So that's just pretty much just want to kind of bring that same environment anywhere I go, because it was one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life. And you know, a lot of the players from that year, you know, we're really close now to this day. And, you know,
that's
we
great.
Can literally see each other today and, like, just start crying because of how amazing it was for what they accomplished. So,
yeah,
so I went on to Immaculate High School, coached a little bit there for 3 years, had a daughter, then, you know, took some time off from there. And obviously back here, this is exactly where I want to be.
Yeah, listen, we're so excited to have you. Now, I want to go back and touch something you said in the beginning.
Yes.
So you said that your father coached you.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how much you know about Westport, but everybody is pretty big sports, and you know, and parents, I mean, everybody does such a great job of involving the earlier programs and following through. But what was your experience like being coached by your dad?
Well, it was a great experience. You know, my father, fortunately, you know, he graduated from Cornell University, so he's a pretty intelligent guy. So, you know, he taught me a lot just about just not really sports itself, but just what they really mean.
Right.
I mean, obviously, it's fun to be competitive. It's fun to win. But there's just so many different life lessons that you learn from that. And there's so many connections and relationships that you build from that. And, you know, he was the type of guy just growing up, you know, he had amazing relationships with everyone we were around, whether, you know, I could go anywhere. We could go to a grocery store. I've seen people literally get on their knees and shake his hand, you know, in a store, which is actually, you know, it really shows a testament to, it's a testament to how great of a man he was, you know, or, and is, because that's just not like the utmost sign of respect, right? To get on your knees. So, yeah, it was amazing to be coached by him, just to see how people respected him, how, you know, he treated others. I learned a lot from him. He was never really forceful in pushing me. I think, you know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? Because he had done it, he knew that he couldn't really force me. He knew that for someone to really be successful, they have to have it within themselves. And, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't really have the drive to work on my own. Like, I love to play, I love to compete, but the training aspect of it was kind of what separated me. And you know, he didn't really push me for that, where some parents would, right? For me, I might have benefited from that little push. I might have, because he and I had such a great relationship that anything he said, I probably would have done it, you know. So he was great, though. He taught me a lot of different things. He taught me that obviously sports aren't everything, right? But just the basic thing was just how important relationships are. I thought, I would say that's it.
Would you say that the fact that he didn't push you makes you a different coach today, because maybe that's something that you wanted? Or how does that play in? Because I heard...
I think that plays a huge role in how I coach. You know, and that it kind of coincides just with my life experiences too. I've seen a lot of people have huge capabilities and fall short of them, right? And it's some of it's just because they weren't pushed in the right way, or they weren't led to believe that they were capable of it, right? So because of that, I have, like, it's like in me to help people believe in themselves, right? Like, whatever you want to accomplish, you really can. All you have to do is just make the right steps, make educated steps, and be diligent in whatever it is that you're trying to succeed and trying to accomplish. And I really believe that everything is attainable, like everything. So that's, yeah, I would say that that's one of the things that I feel like was different with my dad. You know, it kind of made me feel like I have to push other people, because I felt like if he pushed me, I might have been in different circumstances. Not that I'm upset with the circumstance right. that I'm in, but yeah.
No, but you're always a whole, right? We're always a whole of what everything that happens to us in life. Now, one very thing that's interesting I want to ask you about is that, so I had Vijay here in the beginning of the year.
Perfect. Yeah.
Right? And we obviously talked about, you know, the people coming in, what he does. And he said to me, he said, listen, we had Tommy in, and he blew me away on the interview. So I was curious to say, what does one talk about or say in an interview with an athletic director for high school varsity head coaching job? How did that go?
Well, I think it's just me being straightforward. I'm a very honest and straightforward guy. So it's just a matter of, and I'm very knowledgeable and intricate about a lot of different things. So just whether it's the nuances of different girls on the team that, you know, I knew almost everything about them, whether it was things that they needed to improve on, things that they were great at. I recognized different emotional things that I could see, right. Like different connections that I'd seen just from visualizing or just from watching old games or things like that. You know, I don't know what it was that really blew them away. I mean, I was myself. I think maybe that's just that's the power to my coaching. I really just try to be myself all the time and just try to really, you know, obviously none of us are perfect. You know, no human is perfect. We all make mistakes. But my intentions are always just well, right? I have no malintent with anything. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's great because it's a life lesson to say, hey, if you're just yourself, right? A lot of times that's just enough.
It usually is.
And you talked about, you said, you know, about watching tape, and that was going to be my next question. It's your first year head coaching here, but how familiar are you with last year's teams and what have you done in research there, and how do you see that playing into this year, and what's your squad like?
Well, I'm a basketball nerd, so even last year I watched a lot of games from the FCAC. You know, there's the NFHS website, right, where, you know, you can kind of just look at every single team. So I've done a lot of homework from there.
Sure.
Right? It's like once COVID happened, you know, they kind of forced a lot of schools to implement that, and so I've always used it to my advantage. So I've always been kind of familiar with what different teams have, you know, certain players, certain sets, things that they're comfortable with. And, you know, same thing for our group, for the Staples girls. Fortunately, I knew a few of them from whether it was AAU or training them when they were younger, whatever the case may be. So, you know, I think the film just really helped me put things together before I could really see a lot of them in person.
Mm-hmm.
So my preparation, it allowed me to prepare much quicker. It made my preparation or our preparation more efficient leading up to the season.
You know? Yeah, and I got to bring this up because I think it's a topic of anyone that kind of followed him last year is, you know, the loss of Sarah Van Dolen.
Yes.
You know, Sarah left to go to GFA. I guess it's a twofold question. The first question is, how do you kind of replace your top scorer going to in first year? And the second is, you know, how do we kind of, and prevent's not the right word, but how do we build a program where kids don't leave?
Well, that's okay. Two-tier question.
Yeah.
Yep. So first off, obviously losing Sarah is tough, right? She was a heck of a player. You know, I unfortunately haven't been able to meet her yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see her play a few times, and obviously I've watched her on film. And, you know, it's going to be interesting just because the team, we do have the talent. We do have the talent. It's more of a confidence perspective where a lot of the guards from the last year, you know, they were a little more reserved because Sarah was so efficient, right? So just some of those guards are going to have a little more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part is I think that they're capable of doing everything that we need. It's just a matter of them really believing in themselves to do it. I don't think that, you know, they were forced to do it prior. Not really that they had to do it, but,
right,
you know. So I think it'll be a little bit of a learning curve, right, just for people to kind of understand what their roles are and how they fit in and how everybody fits together. But I really think that, you know, just from a guard's perspective, obviously it's going to be rough to miss her. You know, we're going to miss her, but I think we'll manage. I think we'll manage.
And then, you know, the second part was like how it, you know, you're coming in and you're kind of looking to build that program, right? That culture.
Yes.
And is that part of what you think that's going to keep players to maybe staying within that?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's all about establishing a culture, like you said, right? Just making it, you know, it's 2024. So it's like these kids nowadays, it's social media, it's the fun, it's the hoopla.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's some people that are a little resistant to that because, and for instance, I'm not that type of person. I'm not really a big social media guy. If I do post something on social media, I'm kind of forced to do it. so it's, you know, I will post things occasionally, but for the kids, right, it's like they want to be seen, they want to be heard. And, you know, so I have to kind of change myself to kind of adapt, right, because it's not about me, right? As coaches, mm-hmm. you know, we have to realize it's not about us anymore, right? It's about the kids. And sometimes you got to take yourself out of your comfort zone for the benefit of the culture, right? So that's pretty much what it's going to be, just igniting that fun culture. You know, every other team I see is just, you know, whether they win state championships or win league championships, it's all in just their camaraderie and
right.
their involvement with each other, and they just all feel included and accepted. And it's just cultivating that type of culture from the grassroots. So it's we have a great PAL program, or Westport Youth Program. We have people in place that are really, really doing a great job of having the right coaches running it, having the right directors running it, that are really setting a foundation that is really going to kind of just keep the girls engaged and really just think, okay, you know, I can play basketball for the rest of my career, the rest of my life.
Right.
Where a lot of people generally after, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, if they play multiple sports, they usually put basketball on the back burner. And I think some of that is just because there aren't as many people like instilling life in them and helping them believe that they really can
yeah.
succeed or accomplish whatever it is that they can. You know, an athlete is an athlete, right? If you're diligent, you know what you like to work on and you have the right coaches around you, you can accomplish anything that you want. So it's just a matter of just putting them in the right places, teaching them the right things, and uplifting them, you know, and everything will kind of fall into place from there.
Yeah, and you know, your analysis is so in-depth, right? And I don't want to put you in the spot, but I got to ask this. What, you know, as you're coming in and you've seen tape and you watched it, what is the biggest thing you think that needs to be worked on or improved for this team, for this class coming in, this, you know, this year's team, that you feel that you're going to focus your first few games on?
I think pace. Pace. We play with really good pace, but just understanding the flow of the game, you know, flow of the game is, it varies, but if you really look at teams that win, it's generally the same, like the pace of the game. So it's just understanding, like, when you get a closeout, right, on a ball reversal where the ball can't stick, right, we have to continue to attack downhill and create closeouts, create switches and things like that, where I feel like a lot of people, or, you know, younger players, as we're learning, right, their decision making is a little slow, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously because you're trying to figure out what to do, but it's more just teaching them how to react as opposed to overthinking, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like when you rep out certain things as far as like on the catch, on the close, right? Which way am I going to go, right or left? It's if you rep it out, okay, catch, person's on the right, immediate catch, rip left. It's like those are basic things that they seem simple, but a lot of people don't understand or they don't have the confidence to do it. So just understanding the pace of how to use each other to make each other better, use space to make each other better, and just like super small nuances that I don't really want to give in, but you know, whether it's offensively or defensively, there's a lot of nuances. I mean, I guess I can give you one, just a basic, like basic layups, right? It's interesting. Like, so when we were taught, it's like generally the hardest or the easiest layup to make is you're going to use the backboard, right? So if someone's driving to a side, all I have to do is cut off their angle to the square. That's a certain term that I use, cutting off their angle to the square. And it's like if you don't do that, anyone that is decently good, they're going to finish the layup. Where it's really just that simple. Just turn this person, make them change direction, right. And now they have to do something else. They can make a mistake, et cetera, et cetera. So those are little nuances, just like cut off the angle to the square, active hands, constant active hands, right? Mirroring the ball, little things like that, that I think just as they get those things like lodged in their head and it becomes second nature, it'll make things a little more efficient for us.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because, from a parent's standpoint and you're kind of watching the game, you don't get to really pick up on those things. It seemed like you picked up on a lot of that already.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because these are the little details that will turn you maybe like from 5 wins to 10 wins.
Oh, of course, yeah. And that's the tough part with just coach. Not only say the tough part, but with dealing with parents. Like I try to be as transparent as I can because some people don't know what they're seeing, right? So if you're not transparent with them, how do you expect them to understand? And that's just something that I've learned going through. You know, the antiquated way of coaching was parents are hands off. Like, you don't talk to the parents. It's up to the kid, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, we have to remember that these are kids. Like, we're using the word kid. So they're still under the umbrella of their parents, and their parents play a big role in what's being reiterated at home or whatever the case may be.
That's a great point.
Yeah, so if you help the parent understand, then they can reiterate the correct things as opposed to things that may be detrimental to that kid or the team, right? So I'm very, I love to, like, just be as transparent as everything because, like you said, there's small nuances that I may see, the other coaching staff will see, that someone else may not see, whether when you're in your help spot, when you're 1 foot over, you should be, an extra step over, right? A parent or whoever, I don't want to keep talking about parents, but.
it's a big part of it because, I don't want to cut you off, but it's like you look at this, I've heard a lot of times that the drive home from games can be very stressful for kids.
Very true.
Right? Because the parent will sit there and they will talk about something that, and I'm hearing you say, oh, these little things that we see, the parent won't see that. A regular parent like myself won't see that, right? But you will. So to have that idea, and I just want to expand a little bit, said, how do you communicate differently to parents and what is your plan for this year overall to kind of change that, the mentality of parents away from coaches in the program?
Well, I've already initiated just open contact, obviously not completely open, but I'm really open to just communicating with everyone. If we're all on the same page, we'll be fine. It's really, I'm a firm believer in that. I believe that when you allow things to sit and people are confused, that's when falsehoods are created, right?
Right.
That's when things start to brew in their head and it's not true. So it's, why would I allow you to do that when we can just have a normal conversation like two human beings, and we can spell rumors, we can spell all of that stuff, and we can really address the reality of the situation. And like I said, my intentions are always well.
Yeah.
So with that, generally conversations usually go well because they can sense my, you know, my genuine care.
Well, you can feel the heart, right? You can feel someone's heart. I always feel like, you know, we live in a digital world, everybody's texting everybody back and forth. But when you sit down and you talk face to face, you seem to work a lot of things out.
Exactly. It's so simple.
Now, you, and I want to go back to your coaching as we continue to introduce you here. I know you coach AAU. You've coached girls and boys. You've coached both ends of it?
Yes, yes. So I initially just started out with boys. I transferred over to girls once I had a daughter. So I have a five-year-old. Her name's Heartland, Heartland Ray Sparks. And so once she was born, I said, you know what, let me switch over to girls. Let me get acclimated with this side, see, you know, different things that I may need to learn from this aspect and just see if there was any different dynamics in coaching, right? And
what's your big difference between coaching boys and girls?
Well, I love to say it, but it's, you know, so for boys, you know, generally boys believe they're better than they are, right? So you have to kind of tone their ego down and kind of bring them back to reality, where girls generally are better than they think they are. So you have to boost them up and really just show them like what they're capable of. So I mean, it goes both ways, right? It's all both, and it's all, you know, helping others grow. But I hear a lot of people say they enjoy coaching girls better because they listen. And it's funny. I don't agree with that. I think that both boys and girls listen. It's just a matter of the individual. But it kind of goes into just like that ego aspect of it, right? Like you get more younger boys that are a little more egotistical, which makes them you know, seem like they're not listening or whatever the case may be, where girls may be more reserved. Like, oh, they could be 20, can average 20 points a game, but is afraid to shoot the basketball, you know, little things like that. So
right, so it becomes a lot of, you're kind of working on their mental aspect a lot of it too, right? The confidence, just being more confident, right? And what is, as you look at it, your main coaching philosophy coming into at any aspect, but specifically for the Wreckers this year, what is going to be your main coaching philosophy for this team?
It's going to be basically just drive, just having drive and confidence also. But anything we do in life, you have to have a purpose, right? If you have no purpose in why you're doing it, don't do it. That's just my opinion, right? Because if you don't have a purpose, you're not going to give your all. You're not going to succeed at it, right? But if it's something that you care about, right, just have some drive, right? You clearly enjoy it. That's why you're doing it.
Right.
So don't be afraid of failure, right? That's the biggest thing with kids and even adults as we get older. We're afraid of failure, and failure is actually how you learn how to succeed.
Right.
You know, whether it's, you know, you miss a layup, so now you know, oh, let me just put a little more touch on it, whatever the case may be, right? That's just drive. Just be diligent, be confident, be forceful. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, and be together, right? Just literally be together also. Through everyone's mistakes, like community, no matter what mistakes we have, if you have support, those mistakes don't affect you the same, right? So it's just constantly supporting each other, helping others understand, hey, you're going to make mistakes. We don't mind. That's normal.
Normal. It's a great lesson because it's like you learn from it, right? So you want to do that. Now, what is Coach Tommy Sparks like on game day? Like coaching during the sidelines, what are we expecting to see? Are you like a yeller? Are you like coach? Are you standing up? Are you sitting down? What do you expect to see this year?
I promise I'll give you a few moments that you'll want to record. I promise you that. I'm very passionate. I'm very rarely going to be calm. Even, you know, the score doesn't matter whether we're winning or losing. And the only time I'd generally calm down is when there's moments, obviously, when you can tell your team is just completely tapped out, right? And it's like you yelling isn't conducive to anything, right? Those are the moments you just have to, as a coach, you kind of recognize, right? You're not trying to like kick people while they're down or even try to push them when they can't be pushed, when they're not ready to be pushed. So, but generally I talk the entire game, like the
love
entire
that.
Game,
yeah.
The entire game. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, from the media, we love it, right? Like you said, gives us recordable moments, gives us great sound bites. We love it. And you know, we talked about Staples, and I do want to ask you about, you know, obviously, we have a very strong PAL program with the girls here as well.
Yes.
And you touched on that in the beginning. You said about, you know, how the program goes through. But as you come in, and listen, Staples is kind of like the top of it, right? So that's where it ends. So it kind of trickles down. So as you look at you taking Healy charge of this, the entire town basketball, do you have plans for engagement? How do you view the programs? What is your overall philosophy on engaging everything together in town?
Oh, of course. No, definitely. Engagement's the most important thing, right? Helping the younger players feel included with the high school girls. So we have different things coordinated. I believe the boys basketball team also to have the youth programs, you know, do the typical, most schools do it, let them play at halftime. I have some things where I want them to actually come into the locker room, right? Let them see what the locker room looks like, you know, let them see what maybe a conversation in the high school locker room looks like, right? Because, you know, as you're young, you don't know what those high school conversations are like. You don't know how the girls are talking to each other, how the coach handles you in the locker room, different chalk talk, things like that. So you can kind of be introduced to those things at a younger age, which obviously gets your mind going and gets you kind of used to what's coming for you next.
Right.
So we definitely have a lot of different things like that organized. I'm definitely going to check out a lot of different youth games. We have a few clinics that we've run so they can kind of meet me, meet the staff, meet other high school players. So yeah, we're just trying to just keep everybody involved with each other. So we actually did run a clinic this past fall with our high school girls and some of the youth players, and it was great. You know, some of the girls, you know, just wanted to just be around the high school girls, just even outside of playing basketball, they just enjoyed being near them, having a conversation, and, you know, just bringing that camaraderie and that town community spirit, you know, even in the gym.
Yeah, I think, like, the girls, all the sports, I don't know if the athletes really understand the impact they have on the younger ones, right? I mean, I can go back to a story, I remember this, when my son was playing rec soccer, I think third, fourth grade, and the high school boys came and spent a whole day with them, right? And the next day, there was, like, on the Westport News, whatnot, and all of a sudden, they're like, is Barcelona going to see this, right? I mean, that's what it is, because these kids are big role models for the younger kids. So, I mean, instilling that in the program, I think it's a big deal.
No, I agree. And that's part of being an athlete, too, right? Like you said, it's just people will always look up to you. You know, they're pro athletes that, you know, they're role models, whether they want to be or not want to be, right? People want to be like you, or people want to emulate what you do. And when you have people that look up to you, you know, some people take that with pride, right? For me, like, I've always taken that with pride as a, you know, coming from where I came from, young, I have a lot of family members or friends that, you know, that look up to me, right? They look up to me as far as just things that I can accomplish or the way I handle certain situations. So, you know, I'm really big on just, like, really being a role model, really carrying yourself with class, or, and just, you know, like I said, none of us are perfect.
Right.
But it's, you have to know your audience, you know, you have to know your audience, and you have to
Listen, so you talk about know your audience. You've been, how have you looked at the program in the town coming in here to this? Anything changed differently? Anything that you view that it's been, you know, positive or like something we got to work on? What is your view right now?
Everything has been amazing. Everything has been amazing. Whether it's the parental involvement, whether it's the student involvement, whether it's just the energy, you know, I'm hearing, you know, when I first, you know, got the job, it was just amazing to hear certain people reach out to me from the town. Hey, I can't believe you got the job. So excited. So just seeing that type of momentum, it gives me more motivation, right? Because obviously you feel more welcome.
Right.
And, you know, I've trained a lot of kids here from, I mean, it's been about, I'm getting old now, it's been about 15 to 17 years I've been actually training some kids from here. And, It feels like home, you know. It's a second home for me. You know, like I said, I've been here for 15 years, and you know, there's a lot of families that I've had lunch and dinner with at their house, you know. So it's just like home. It's
yeah.
Like
a second home. Now you're talking about you're only 36. I know that. Cause your birthday just passed when we're recording this. Right, so happy birthday, by the belated birthday.
Thank you again.
But what I love about that is that you're a young guy coming in, you know, in it to kind of coach high school girls.
Yes.
So. It helps you relate to them, right? And
yes.
and how do you see that going? And is there anything you do differently because of, you know, realizing where they are in their lives?
Oh my gosh, coaching girls basketball has made me a better human being. Now, once again, I'm not perfect, but it really helped me just assess people a little differently. I was always pretty, I don't want to say forceful, but like very straight to the point, just. very straight to the point. And, you know, sometimes people can't handle that. So I realize sometimes you just have to kind of adjust, you know, your methods, and you can still get your same point across. So I would say that's the biggest thing, just because I always felt like, well, the way I was coached, and I was always coached hard. It didn't matter how they coached me. I knew they loved me, right? They could treat me like, you know, whatever. And, you know, I just already knew it's just the coaching, right? But from a girl's perspective, or, you know, especially me being a man, big man, you know, it's a little different, right? Especially they're younger girls. So that was something just for me, because I always have good intentions when I was younger. I didn't really understand how much it could have affected them, right? So
that's a good point.
You know, through AAU, through, you know, I've been through certain situations where I've learned, like, okay, I have to adjust the way I manage the situation. I have to adjust the way I look at this situation. I have to adjust how I, you know, how I communicate in this type of situation. So, you know, I've learned a lot from them, from all the younger players too. So they may feel like they learned from me, but I'm learning from them too. I learn from them. I learn from the parents. You know, I'm willing to learn from everyone every moment of every day. So, yeah.
Because you can still get your point across without being forceful.
Of course, yes. And that's what I've learned. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It is. And it's a medium, right? Because at the same point, everybody wants to see the passion.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
At all times. But sometimes it can come wrong, but I'm loving what I'm hearing.
No, you're right. It's sometimes it comes off wrong. And it's I'm a big, like, from a sociological perspective or even psychological perspective, right? It's like what you say to someone, you may intend for it to come off a certain way, but the way they take it is all that really matters, right? Because if they get offended, you can't say, oh, well, I didn't mean to say that. Did offend me, right? I didn't choose to get offended. I didn't want to get offended for fun, right? You clearly said something that made me feel so. So in those types of settings, like for me, I'm very cognizant of, okay, let me figure out why this happened, you know? So yeah, I mean,
I know, because you're big in psychology, right? And that,
yes.
So it's like, and I always, to me, it's honestly like, think about when you get a text.
Yes.
It's like, you know, and sometimes like, you know, before I send a text, I'll read it to my wife, read it to me, and I'm just like, it works because we're reading it one way.
Yes.
But someone might get that text and read it a totally different way.
Very true.
Right?
Very,
I mean, it, this world's crazy.
Very true. That's some text I don't even communicate a certain way because it can be, you know, misconstrued.
Right. Yeah. I try to do a lot of exclamation marks and smileys, right? Because they say, hey, I'm not yelling. This is just like, right? Because you just never know.
Yeah.
I remember when computers just came out, I had a boss who wasn't very, you know, good in computers. And
savvy. Yep.
Yeah. And he had everything on caps lock. So I try to explain to him that, listen, if you put everything on cat, you're yelling. He goes, no, I'm not. And I'm like, right? But those are the kind of things that we got,
yes.
You know, as we adjust to the younger generation, that's what we kind of got to do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I've seen that, at least from you took over, the accounts have been a lot more active. Because, you know, we live on Instagram. That's kind of they have been, and that's part of it, getting the program more out there.
It is part of it. We're going to be even more active. Just right now, it's obviously we don't have the team and everything situated.
Right.
Obviously, we're still going trials are in 2 weeks. So, but once everything's finalized, yeah, we're going to try to be as active as we can on social media for the girls, you know, really just highlight all of their accomplishments, whether it's, you know, a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, it doesn't matter. But I think right. that they all deserve just that recognition.
Yeah, because one thing that I've seen that's been really good for me to be around, you know, these sports is that you guys as coaches don't really tend to look at as an athlete as, you know, she's a freshman or she's a sophomore. It's just a student athlete that I have. If they deserve to play, they're going to play. If they're not, is that kind of how you're going to run this thing?
Yeah, that's how I've always been. You know, that's, yeah. There's some coaches that don't operate that way, but I've always been, hey, if you know, the best person should play. I mean, and it's that simple. And it's not just the best person, like the best person for the team.
Right.
Right.
That's a good point.
We're all trying to accomplish the same goal. Well, that's generally the teams that are successful. That's the issue with teams, right? Can you get everyone to want the same thing, right? You have some people that have individual, you know, aspirations. You have people that have team aspirations. You have people that have college aspirations, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if there are all these disjointed aspirations, there's no common goal. So your process is going to be disjointed, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's okay for all of those people to have those same aspirations, but there needs to be a common goal, whether, hey, we want to win 10 games this year. Hey, we want to win the FCAC this year. Hey, we want to win the state championship. So now there's a goal that we're actually striving to attain. So now people can be held accountable to a goal, right, to attain that goal. So once that structure is there, everything is fine. Like whether you succeed or fail at it, it's kind of always a success because if everyone's aligned with that same goal, everyone's going to grow. You may not achieve that goal, but you'll grow and get closer to whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
So. Yeah, and for in your mind, obviously, I think we all, you know, define success as wins and losses. I don't. Because sometimes, you know, you can do your best job. You can take a team that maybe won, supposed to win 3 games, you won 7 games. That's an amazing season. Or right. A team supposed to win 15, wins 12. That wasn't a great season.
Correct.
How do you define success for this year coming up for this team?
I'm a very competitive guy. I don't really want to say what our goals are. But just realistically, like a good season for me would just be, I want to see the girls, you know, we are together. But I want us to stay together throughout everything, right, through the adversity, because obviously adversity will hit. I want to see us play with a passion. I want to see fans in the stands cheering and yelling. I just want every single girl to have a great experience and be happy and have fun. And honestly, that sounds so cliche. Like, people that know me will be like, you're lying, because I know you want to win. And definitely I do want to win. But like you said, it's not always about wins and losses. It's like I said, it's like we'll establish what our common goal is, we'll strive for it, and if we, you know, everyone holds themselves accountable and we stay true to each other, that'll be a successful season. And I think if we do that, it'll tie in. It'll all come together the right way.
Yeah, and I just want to expand on that a little bit, because you said holding accountable.
Yes.
And that's like, at least from a lot of talks I've had and with parents and people around programs, people always feel like, well, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen. So how do you, as Coach Tommy, will do that for this team coming up?
Accountability is all about transparency, in my opinion. Right? As long as we know what we have to do, then we can figure out whether we're doing it or not, right? So that's where the accountability can be attached to someone, right? Hey, this is our goal. This is what we need to do every day. Did you do it or no? That's right. If you didn't, hey, we need to get better. If you did, perfect. But also from an accountability perspective is just understanding that if you don't succeed or don't accomplish whatever you're doing, it's okay. It's okay, right? It's like a lot of people are afraid of accountability because they're afraid of feeling like a failure. That's the main reason why people are afraid of accountability, because they feel less of themselves. And when you create an environment where people don't feel like that, then they're not afraid to be accountable for themselves, right? They can accept, oh, I made a mistake, it's okay. I'm not going to dwell on it because I know everyone here isn't mad at me and like making fun of me, right? It's like if you create that community where they feel supported, accountability is easy.
Yeah, it seems easier than it actually is, but I totally understand what you're saying, because if you have an environment that kind of fosters that, you can totally do that.
That's the only way, right? If the environment doesn't exist, then obviously it's going to be difficult. And, you know, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy.
Right.
I'm just saying that's what needs to happen to make it,
But listen, I'm so excited. I think it's going to be great, right? I mean, it's always exciting to have, you know, fresh people come in and do that. We're going to see a different style of basketball, pace, you know, do that. And then before I let you go, though, I do want to get on some little personal stuff for a bit, so everybody get to know you.
Perfect.
Okay?
Perfect.
So I think it's going to be great. And that's so we'll start with that, and we can elaborate on some of these questions.
Perfect.
So are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm a night owl. I do get up early, but I probably go to sleep at 2 or 3 a.m. every night.
So do you have, like, a go-to midnight snack or something like that?
Just a fruit snack guy. I mean, I do like all kinds of snacks, but if I had to choose one, I can eat fruit snacks all day.
So you're like me, because I used to raid my kids' snacks all the time, right?
Yeah. My daughter hides all of her snacks from me, even though I buy them, me and her mother.
Love it, yeah. So growing up, what was your favorite subject in school?
Math, actually. Math and Spanish. So I was in Spanish Honor Society in high school, so...
So are you Spanish pretty good?
I can read and write Spanish, perfectly.
Here's what I'm saying. I took Spanish high school, and Portuguese is my first language, right? Okay. So I thought that I had a good handle on Spanish until I went to Dominican Republic. And I realized I do not have a good handle on Spanish.
Yeah, it's like, well, if you're not doing it every day, like for me, like if someone's speaking it, right, I'm not really going to understand it as much, right? But reading and writing it, I have the time to conjugate things or translate things, so it's a little easier for me. Like I'm so far removed from speaking Spanish, right? like I said, I was in high school, so.
But the thing is, somebody says something in Spanish, you'll get it.
Yeah,
you're not gonna get past it.
So yeah, there's times where, you know, when I go on vacation, you know, I communicate in Spanish when necessary.
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really
definitely
cool. So math and Spanish, love that.
Yes.
So when you mention vacation, so what's your all-time favorite vacation spot? Or vacation you
it's
took?
Hard to call. I mean, I'm gonna have to name three that I can't choose from.
Okay.
But I went to Greece and Italy. It was amazing. You know, went to was in Venice, and then there was a cruise, Greece. Where was it? Croatia and different places. That was amazing. But then I can also say the Bahamas, and then I can also say Costa Rica. Costa Rica was just unique. It was very unique. And so yeah, all of those have their own, you know, authentic feel that I felt.
Were all those like beach vacations? Are you like a beach guy, mountain guy?
I'm more of a beach guy. I don't really like to do hiking and all. I'm not a outdoorsman. I hate bugs. I hate bugs.
I'm with you on that. You know, every time it gets cold here, I tell my wife, listen, no mosquitoes, no geckos or things like that around, right? That's what kills it all of it. Yeah. So that's cool. I love that. All right. So name one guilty song on your playlist.
Guilty song. Well, you know, my traditional, you know, I'm a traditional hip hop R&B guy. Obviously, I listen to some pop and things like that too. But like, I would say, if it's something that no one would really expect, I would say one of the songs, maybe One Number Away by Luke.
Country guy.
Just that song gets me. I don't know why. It's like, you know, TikTok nowadays, all these social media sites, they just throw these catchy songs on there, and I somehow it latched on.
Then you end up looking for them, and they end up in your playlist somehow.
Yeah, yep, somehow.
I love it. What is your go-to karaoke song?
Interesting. I don't have one.
I haven't done
karaoke in, I don't think, years, since I was maybe in college. So
really,
yeah, I don't know why. I don't know, but
I'm a big karaoke guy, so we got to get you to some karaoke.
I'm open to it. You know what it is, I'm just so competitive, right? So it's like karaoke, I'm gonna try to sing seriously whether I can or can't.
I do it. It's like I get up there, like I gotta sing in tune, I gotta do it, because it's anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Exactly, I love it.
So do you have any favorite tradition, any favorite holiday traditions or moments, and did you guys do as a family, or like the best thing you like about the holidays? What is your favorite thing?
Well, yeah, just the favorite thing is just family, just being around family. You know, we're all busy. You know, my parents, fortunately, are both retired, so they have a lot of time on their hands. But but it's still hard to get everyone together.
Sure.
As far as
is your family from the area?
Yes. We're from Bridgeport.
Right.
But my brother lives in Newtown. My sister lives in Stratford. I live in Newtown now also. So you know, it takes, you know, with our schedules, it's hard to get us all together.
Sure. Yeah.
And you know, but something like for us is like we're like. For instance, my birthday just passed. For all of our birthdays, we always meet up at my parents' house and we all sing happy birthday. Like every, doesn't matter what's going on. I could be in another state and I'm going to make it back for whoever's birthday it is just to sing happy birthday, right?
It's so cool.
You could be 55, we're singing, you know, it's like, it's a good little tradition, you know, no matter what anyone's doing, we all meet at my parents' house.
Yeah, it's so really cool. So cool. You've gone through all those, that's really special.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what cake is taken there? What kind of cake? What is your favorite?
I'm an ice cream cake guy.
Ice cream cake,
or you know, vanilla. The reason why I'm an ice cream cake guy is I don't really eat a lot of cake. Like I try to stay away from cakes and brownies. I used to eat a lot of it when I was younger because my body could manage it. But now, just like trying to keep myself healthy, I don't eat as many.
Yeah. You know, well, you're doing a good job with that. You're a good job with that. All right, so this is a tough one, but I want you to describe your coaching style in one word. I know it's tough because it's one word, but give us one word. People are going to see this winner in the court.
Let's see. That is a tough one. One word. Focused? I don't know.
Oh, that's
good. I can't. I didn't want to say passion. I don't want to use that word again.
I love that I got a question that you're speechless. I love it.
Because I can talk about anything.
I know. I love it.
Oh, my goodness. You might have to come back to me on that one.
So when we do the first interview post-game, We'll talk. We'll bring that up.
Perfect. Yeah. Just
game one. We'll talk about that.
Right, one word. That's very strong, right? So it has to really represent.
Right, because it's a message, right? So think about that. It is. So we'll get back to that.
Stumped me. That's impressive. That's impressive.
So let's see. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Okay. Value every day. Because you're not guaranteed to wake up tomorrow.
Love that. If you could go back and relive one day in your life, what would that be?
I think it would have to be the day that my closest cousin passed away. So my closest cousin, he was kind of like a brother to me, but he committed suicide right before I found out that my daughter was going to be born. And yeah, I would say that just a lot of my life changed from there. It was rough for me for a while after that, and obviously I've gotten through it now. But I would say that like just losing him, and you know he was hearing impaired. I was kind of someone that really looked out for him through every aspect of life, whether it was you know helping him become socially acclimated because him being hearing impaired. You know, kids, you know, they treated him a certain way. And then obviously with him being, you know, hearing impaired, he didn't find out for a while. So he had a little bit of a speech and not really impediment, but you kind of hear.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it was just like just trying to reacclimate him to society and make him feel worth something. And, you know, just kind of going through that. And, you know, I not to say it, but I kind of failed at it because of what happened. But so I would say that day.
Yeah, and it's like it's strong because you say you felt it, but at the same point, like that, it brings you to a different level of things that you can see and be, right? Because you said you probably are a different person because of that experience. And sometimes we don't want to go through those experiences, but those make you better.
No, very true, very true. And that's where that's another piece of where my passion comes from, right? Of helping people achieve what they can, right? So seeing him. Go through life a certain way and not be confident and see what he chose to do in light of that, right? There are kids like that have that same feeling, right? And it's like as a coach, you can really help them feel some type of self-worth, feel like they're a part of something. And it's like not necessarily that it always has to go towards that route, you know, that bad of a result, but even just kids not being confident in themselves or things like that. Those things like just hurt me. They hurt my soul because, in life, it's all about in relationships.
Listen, I feel you so much on that because, you know, as I look at that subject, we're prep zone, like we definitely want to do so much more with mental health, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, in my mind, I can't understand someone thinking that, you know, how, because I think you feel this, like how important every player on your team is, everyone needs to be. And like for someone to not feel that way, it hurts us.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. It's like, it's just really sad in any way, you know. Growing up, I was like the most positive person, And a lot of it came from, you know, my father. You know, my mother's very positive too, but my dad was a little more like just calm. You know,
right.
My mom was a little more strict. But my dad just ultimate positivity, nonstop. Nonstop.
I do it all the time, and I talked about it the morning after the day, and people like, I said, listen, it is about what you fill yourself with, right? I try to be around positive people and read positive things, and that kind of just feeds. And I love that you're so positive, and you put that into players, and then it just comes out.
Yes.
It just comes out, mm-hmm. And that's amazing. And then I'll end with this. What is your favorite thing about coaching?
Helping others find something within themselves that they didn't believe they had. Right, or helping someone get to a level of life or accomplish something that they wouldn't have without me, right, or without whoever, like the structure that I put around them. So just literally seeing someone improve, right? I've coached thousands upon thousands of kids, like thousands, and the feeling I get when I see them later in life, you know, with whatever the case may be, whether it's their job, like I have kids that are, you know, running their own frat at, you know, University of Michigan or University of North Carolina, and they're attributing their confidence to do that for me. Like, yeah, I remember I didn't want to do anything, you know, and you just helped me believe. And now, you know,
yeah,
kids
priceless.
Probably going to work for a Fortune 500 company. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah.
It's so awesome. I mean, there's nothing better than seeing that. I mean, it's so exciting. Coach, listen, I want to thank you for a few minutes here.
Thank you. This was
amazing. Thank you for being so open with us and sharing so much.
Of course.
I think it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to the season.
Yes, I'm excited.
With December 13th, is that the right date?
First game, yes.
December 13th,
yes,
right?
Yes, first day of tryouts. We got December 2nd, and we're right to it. We have a scrimmage that Friday also, actually. So
going to be a lot of fun.
Are you coming to the scrimmage also?
I don't know if we'll try to be at the scrimmage, but likely we'll be at the games. You know, it's like it's going to be right in transition, but we'll try to be there. I think it's, you know, a lot of what we do is just really kind of get to know the team, right?
Yes.
And that's a big part of our reporting. But listen, we're so lucky to have you here. I know I've talked to VG. We mentioned VG. I talked to him. It's like we as a program, as a community, are really thankful and excited that you chose to be here with us.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. I'm more excited than I look.
It's going to be great. Coach Tommy, thanks again for a few minutes. We'll see you on the court.
Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate you. Thank you.